painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today on Artbeat, we talk to local photographer Tara Fravel about taking great holiday photos. We'll talk about how to capture those fleeting moments with quick-moving youngsters and what to think about in order to get the proper exposure indoors and out. I'm Bill Stoneberg with photographer Tara Fravel on today's Artbeat. How are you doing today, Tara?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Why can it be difficult to capture holiday photos, like of your kids and stuff like that, you know?
They are usually, younger ones are fast moving, or teenagers don't want to do anything like that. It's hard to do them inside without the proper lighting and equipment. And then just trying to figure out what to wear, and it gets really stressful.
Okay. So pretty much the stress of it and trying to capture those moments. Yeah. Okay. And since kids are kind of fast, they run around, the little ones do anyway, you know, and they're opening their presents, they tend to do that kind of fast. How do you capture those fleeting moments like that?
I rely on my camera. I have a DSLR camera. It's a Canon. I had an entry-level one when I started, and now the one I have is a little bit nicer, but it does help a lot. Even if you have like a point-and-shoot camera that can kind of freeze that motion, that does make a difference. I mean, you can do it with cell phones, but you're going to get blur. So yeah, the camera has a lot to do with it, and knowing what to do with the camera settings to make it possible. And I take hundreds of photos to get one or two good ones. That's the secret.
So that's the big secret, huh? Taking lots of photos.
For me anyways, yeah, it really is. Because sometimes things will be right on, and then there'll be 50 other ones that are not quite right. So
okay.
Take a lot of pictures.
Okay. Would you recommend using like a burst setting or anything like that to capture those moments, or would that not work?
Yeah, you could, I guess. I mean, I don't personally, but yeah, that would be something someone could try out to see if it would capture one or two out of the burst.
Right. Okay, so really it's just waiting for that moment and trying to get it, huh?
Yeah, and just taking lots of pictures and experimenting.
Okay, fair enough. How about lighting? You know, you mentioned the low lighting situations. What can you do to compensate for that?
If you're inside, always obviously shoot in the daytime where it's lighter. If you have a nice camera, sometimes you can get away with it being a little darker, but again, you just need to know how to use your settings. I actually shut all the lights off in my house when I'm shooting the kids inside, cause it kind of messes with the color and things like that. Otherwise, biggest suggestion, what I'll talk about today, is to take them outside and do them, you know, like in the evening around an hour before the sun sets. That's like the best time to get pictures. But, you know, not everybody wants to go outside, so you kind of got to work with it. But yeah, definitely during the day, for sure.
Okay. And then do you do it in the evening because the light's kind of diffused, or?
The sun starts going down, and so it's known as golden hours, the hour before sunset. That's where the light's going to be really soft and pretty and golden and beautiful. Anything earlier than that, you're going to get harsh, bright lights. You can get shadows. You can get bright sun on people's faces. There's ways to combat that. You know, I've shot weddings in bright sun. I mean, it just is what it is. Or you go in open shade where people are standing, say, by a building and they're shaded. Okay. You know, or if it's overcast, then there's, you know, that works too. But yeah, an hour before sunset, or if you're really early riser, you can do it in the morning before sun rises, while the sun is rising. I just don't like morning, so I try not to do that. But it's an option for people with little kids.
Okay, okay. And, you know, speaking of shooting outside in the wintertime, what about the snow? Does that pose a problem?
Absolutely. It's very bright, so the snow itself is going to act as a reflector on anything. So if you don't expose your photos right, they're going to be too bright, you're going to have too much highlights. But if you underexpose, then your snow is going to be an ugly gray color. So that is part of something you just need to practice to figure it out.
Okay. What about composition? What do you need to keep in mind to get good composition in your photos?
A lot of people follow what they say is the rule of thirds. I honestly don't. I just kind of shoot whatever I feel, and then I crop it to how I feel looks good. You know, if someone's interested in rule of thirds, they can definitely read up on it, and it's, you know, just finding where you're going to put the person's face in the grid. I just don't do that. I just do what I do, and it seems to be working out for me. So
okay.
I like to have my, when I take actual smiling pictures of the kids or something that's going to go on the Christmas card, I do try to have them kind of in the center. That's just how I like it. So it's personal preference, but everybody kind of has their own way that they like things. But for me, on a Christmas card, it should be centered right in the middle.
So really personal preference and practice. Huh?
Preference, yep.
Okay. Speaking of composition, how important is the background, you know?
To me, it's a big deal. So one of the things I think I mentioned in my PowerPoint was, if you are going to shoot inside, make sure to clear all the clutter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ideal situation would be to have your smiling children and then have that nice creamy blurred background, but you do need to really learn how to do that. If you're on a cell phone, you can kind of like, there's certain editing things that you can make it to look blurred, but it's going to look fake. So what I do is I make sure to set it correctly that the background's blurred, but if there are a lot of distractions in the background, lots of clutter, I mean, it's just not going to look nice. You know, outside, it's pretty much anywhere. I shoot in the middle of downtown. I shoot out at Prairie Island. I shoot wherever. I mean, sometimes there's cars in the background. I don't love that, but if that's what you're looking for, it's fine. But yeah, trying to clear the clutter is a big thing.
Okay. What about the Christmas tree? I know a lot of people like to have their kids in front of the Christmas tree. Does that pose any problems with the lights and things like that?
I actually just did my first Christmas tree photos, believe it or not, with my children last year, and it was incredibly hard, and it took me hours to edit them, and I still was not completely happy with the results. So speaking from a pro, I have friends that do it like just for fun, and they are better with that kind of stuff because they practice a lot more. Since I have a running business, I don't do a lot of that, so it is something I'm trying to work on. That's probably not the best thing for me to speak about. But, yeah, there's lights, and a lot of times it's dark because you want to capture the lights. So you have to have your settings just right, or it's just not going to turn out very well. If you try a couple hundred times, you'll eventually get one.
So keep shooting, huh?
Keep shooting.
Okay. What about the group portrait? A lot of times people want to get a, you know, family portrait during Christmas because everyone's together. How do you get everyone to, you know, in the frame and smiling? And
I try not to. No, I'm just kidding. I don't actually like shooting big groups. It's a nightmare. But, you know, like a family of, say, 12 or something, just for example, I make everybody stand really close together. I mean, angle their bodies in. There's usually kind of a center point, whether it being a parent, grandparents, and then go kind of by height that way around. But, yeah, getting them really, really close where they're almost uncomfortable is my biggest thing. I'm actually pretty good about posing people in that light, and then I kind of pick and choose who I think isn't quite right, and I move them and things before I take the shot. I try never to edit people in or swap heads if I can. I did that a lot when I first started. Now I just make sure to get it right so I don't have to spend hours in editing.
Okay, so it's really a lot about positioning then, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you have everybody just standing in one spot and they're just all kind of like awkwardly standing, it's going to look like an awkward family photo. If you have someone that's posing you and you know how, it's going to look a lot better. Absolutely, right. Makes a difference.
Okay. Yeah, I can relate to that. I've been in a lot of awkward family photos before. So
yeah, that's where professionals do. I know a lot of people don't think it's worth the money to hire a professional, and I'm not here to push my business at all for this, but it makes a huge difference. Absolutely, 100%. Unless you have somebody that's really talented and kind of has an eye for photography or an eye for the posing, then maybe, but doing it on your own is just not going to be all there, more than likely.
Okay. What about portrait mode? Are you familiar with that? It sounds like that could be like an all-in-one fix, but is it? I mean, what does it do? You know,
I've never used it. Yeah, I think basically if you put it in one of the pre-done modes on your camera, that is a good starting place. It really is, because then you have to change certain things, and then other things are already preset for you. I never learned that way, though. I just picked up a DSLR camera, and I went on Google, and I learned how to manually set all of my settings. I mean, it didn't take a day. It took, you know, months of figuring it out and practicing and shooting and things. But yeah, for an amateur person that's not really looking for that, it would be a good place to start.
Okay. Would you recommend doing things manually if you want to go that route and learn?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it any other way.
Okay. That sounds...
You have the equipment to do so.
Right.
And
right.
I think even some of those point-and-shoot cameras now have that option. I'm not where you can set like your ISO and your shutter. I'm not sure, but I use two things in my big camera and my iPhone. That's all I have in life, so I'm not sure about anything else.
Okay, speaking of iPhones, how do those turn out? Can you use your camera phone for, you know, portraits at Christmas?
Absolutely. It just depends on what you're trying to achieve. I have a section covered about, I called it iPhoneography. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's an Android or an iPhone. The iPhone cameras are actually, the one I have is pretty basic. It doesn't shoot the best pictures, but if I can get the kids to be still or even not, and I just take a bunch of pictures and I can get one that looks how I want, and then I edit them in, I think it was a free app I downloaded on my phone, which, you know, is it going to be a totally professional looking? Maybe, but I've seen some really cool iPhone photos out there. Yeah. Really cool. So I think it can if you know what you're doing and you're practicing. It's not my strong suit. I mean, I have the intention of doing that with my kids because that's what I shoot my family stuff, you know, being out looking at the rotary lights and picking up Christmas trees, whatever. I don't take my camera with me. It's heavy. It's a lot of money. I don't want anything to happen to it. So I use my iPhone for everything, and they're not great. I could make them better. I could strive to make them better. It just takes the time to navigate it and learn it and then go in and edit all them. Okay. So I think for someone that's interested in that, absolutely, that would be a choice. If you want just a basic picture for your Christmas card or your kids, that would be perfect.
Okay, and then it sounds like you can edit them in an app then, right on your phone?
Yeah, there's probably tons of different apps. I have one called Snapseed.
Okay.
I think it was free or it was just a couple bucks. I don't know. Like I said, I rarely use it. I had to hop on the other day to try to do stuff for this. So I went in and I had taken some pictures on my iPhone of the kids playing at the park during golden hour. It had beautiful sun, and I had meant to go in and edit them and print them off, but I didn't until this came up. So I went in and I did that, and I was able to do some cool things, which I wouldn't probably do on my professional side of things. Like they had a lens blur, kind of blurred the edges a little bit. And they have certain things like I do use for my editing program, like curves and levels and white balance adjustments and stuff like that. It's just a lot harder doing it on a tiny, tiny screen. You can't really see very well. My phone's just regular size, so... But yeah, it is definitely an option. I'm sure there's hundreds of apps that do editing. You can get presets. You can buy all kinds of stuff for your phone to edit pictures.
What about with a DSLR? What kind of program would you recommend to edit those?
I use Photoshop. You can buy... It's Adobe Creative Cloud. It's $10 a month. You can get a personal plan. It has Lightroom and Adobe Camera Raw, and that's all part of Photoshop. And I use Adobe Camera Raw with Photoshop. So I bring all my pictures into Adobe Camera Raw. I make all of my white balance, exposure, all my adjustments in there, and I can batch them all. So I can take one and make all of them cohesive, and I can adjust each one if I want, but it makes it a lot quicker. And then I downloaded them into Photoshop and do any cropping and skin work and adjustments from there. Yeah, some people really like Lightroom. It seems like there's one or the other. Some people love. I just couldn't get the hang of Lightroom. It has a few different features that I don't have with Adobe Camera Raw, but I just can't get myself to make the switch.
Yeah.
For $10 a month, if you do a lot of photo editing, even if it's of your kids, I mean, it's worth it for sure.
And you mentioned a little bit about skin tone, you know, changing that. What about red eye? I've, you know, been in a lot of photos when I was a kid where our eyes all turned red. How do you deal with that?
I try to shoot it so that doesn't happen. The only time that's really going to happen is if you have a flash. If you don't use a flash, which I don't 98% of the time, there's a few things that I have to because it's really dark and I'm shooting a wedding, and that could happen. There are some red eye removal tools in Photoshop. I mean, it's just really challenging. It depends on how big the picture is and how many people are in it. And I'm deciding, does the client want to blow this one up of everyone dancing? Probably not. If I can get away with minimal editing, I will, or just use the Photoshop tool. But yeah, try not to use flash if you can help it. I mean, flash on your cell phone, flash on your camera. And don't do it unless you're absolutely know what you're doing and you, yeah, I just would say no.
Okay.
But so sometimes you have to.
So is that the biggest trick for red eye, is just to not use a flash then?
Yeah, you're not going to get red eye if you don't use flash. Oh, yep. Cool. I use studio light, which is, it's like a flash, it's a strobe. Uh-huh. So my camera connects with the strobe and it'll go off when I take the picture, but I don't get, it's off of my camera and I don't get any red eye from that. The bulbs are balanced correctly and whatever. And if I were ever in the situation that I had to use my flash, I would face it upwards towards the ceiling and bounce it off, or like an opposite wall that's like maybe white or something, and really, really low power so you don't get that red eye. Otherwise, take it off and put it on a stand with an umbrella. There's certain, you can buy inexpensive white umbrellas for photography, and I've done that, like in a church per se, before I got other equipment. I needed a little bit of extra light. It's way better to always take it off your camera. Flashing okay. cameras is just terrible.
Okay.
It really is.
What about outdoors? Would you ever use a flash outdoors? Like you were mentioning being in shadows and having people's face in the shadow. Would that work in that situation or no?
I know photographers that do, so any other photographer that might listen to this might say I'm wrong. I don't, but I know I have a couple of people that I know do that. They use it as fill, but for my work and what I shoot, I just don't ever need that, and I just know how to face people so that the light, even if it's an overcast day, you still have to have them facing a certain way or they'll get dark shadows under their face. So yeah, I think it's, again, some really good professional photographers, way better than me, use flash outside, and you know, they have great things. I just don't personally do it. Okay. Something you'd have to learn.
Okay, so practice or personal preference, huh?
I have not done it, yeah, so I haven't really tried, so I don't know, maybe there's something miraculous, but I haven't done it yet. A lot of wedding photographers do. Okay. If they have to shoot outside in this bright sun, I think they use the flat or the off-camera flash to combat some of that. From my small amount of knowledge, I know about that.
How important is the angle when taking pictures of children? Because they're kind of, you know, the little ones are lower to the ground and they're often sitting on the floor when they're opening presents. How important is the angle, and what kind of angle do you really want?
It is really important, because you can look at someone that isn't as experienced taking photos and you'll see a lot of like people shooting up the nose or like this way up. No, that's not good. No one ever wants to see nostrils. You should always shoot. I always shoot downwards on people. I mean, there's obviously the occasional thing where a family is, or kids are doing whatever, and I do, but I try to kind of shoot at a little bit of a down angle. Okay. So it does make a difference.
Do you prefer posed shots or like more of a candid shot than when they don't know that you're taking it?
I do most of my business based off candid photography. Okay. We call it lifestyle or documentary. I do pose shots for every session that I do, but you know, everybody wants everyone smiling, looking at the camera thing. But I do a few variations of that, making sure I get everybody looking and smiling, or smiling as much as I can get, and then I move on to mainly candids. Hugs and kisses and showing emotion and playing and, you know, walking and doing things. And it's really helpful for little kids, because little kids aren't going to sit and smile for an hour session. They're just not going to. And anybody can get them to do it. I mean, that's awesome. But I choose not to run my business that way. And same with my kids. I mean, the posed ones are great, but the ones I usually hang on my wall are not those ones typically.
You know, speaking of having a kid that doesn't want to have their picture taken or doesn't like the pose, how do you deal with that when they're really against it and they don't, you know, how do you sneak up on them? What do you do?
I really haven't had a failed session with a kid. I mean, I know other photographers struggle with it. I really like little two-year-olds and people that are not going to want to take pictures, but I don't know. I just chase them around. We do silly things. I think the biggest thing is not making them do things.
Okay.
They don't want to sit on mom's lap, or they don't want to hug their brother, or they're not going to stand there and smile or sit on something that you're trying to make them do. I always try, and then a lot of them will cry if they don't want to do it. So then I just let them be them. You know, okay. Have mom and dad play with them, pick them up, kiss them, hug them, you know, say, tickle your brother, or, you know, do a jumping jack or whatever. And it gets them in the moment, and you'll get genuine smiles that way. Absolutely. And I have actually just went off and chased kids, and kids love playing chase. The older I get, the harder it's getting to chase little kids. They're too fast.
I'm sure. So basically just don't force them and let them be them.
Absolutely. Yep. That's my whole business model. That's why people hire me, because I get people to smile and they're genuine. You know, you always see the family photos. Everyone's like, geez. Right. And that's not what I want to do. Nobody wants to put that on their wall or their Christmas card. I don't, anyways.
Do you ever use a tripod for, like, family photos or stuff like that?
I have not tried it. Okay. I have not attempted to take my own family photos. I might have one someplace. I know it's helpful, especially if you're shooting in really low light, or if you're, you know, the Christmas card or the Christmas tree shots with your kids in the dark. That might be, got to have a really steady hand, or things will be blurred. So a tripod would be really useful in that situation, or if you're trying to take your own family photos. But I've never attempted this. I either just set it and gave it to someone else to shoot, or I have a friend who's a photographer that, you know, she just does ours, or we hire somebody.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like it'd be kind of scary trying to take your own family photo.
Some people do it. I mean, I have other photographers that do it successfully, but I've just never attempted it.
So it sounds like really the main point is practice, 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 huh?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good. If someone wanted to hire you to take photos, how could they go about doing that?
My business name is Ivy Bella Photography. I'm on Facebook. I have a web page. It's ivybellaphotography.com. Shoot me a message, email me, call me, whatever.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I've been here with Tara Fravel. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thanks again to Tara Fravel for joining us today on ArtBeat. To stream today's show or any other episode of ArtBeat, go to kqal.org and look for Program Archives under the Media tab. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and you've been listening to photographer Tara Fravel on ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.
Is art an important part of your life? Tune into ArtBeat Tuesdays at 12:30 right here on 89.5 KQAL. ArtBeat is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.